Sister Collins, are the kids going to sing? Or? Okay. Okay. We appreciate, again, the good songs today, and I certainly want to ask an interest in your prayers as I stand before you this morning and try to share with you the things that the Lord has placed upon my heart. I'd like to ask you to turn to Numbers chapter 10, if you would, if you'd like to read along with me. I'm going to read a fairly short scripture reading this morning from Numbers chapter 10, beginning with verse 29. Numbers 10, beginning with verse 29. And Moses said unto Hobab, the son of Raguel the Midianite, Moses' father-in-law, we are journeying unto the place of which the Lord said, I will give it you. Come thou with us, and we will do thee good. For the Lord hath spoken good concerning Israel. And he said unto him, I will not go, but I will depart to mine own land and to my kindred. And he said, leave us not, I pray thee, for as much as thou knowest how we are to encamp in the wilderness, thou mayest be to us instead of eyes. And it shall be, if thou go with us, yea, it shall be, that what goodness the Lord shall do unto us, the same will we do unto thee. They departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey, the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark set forward that Moses said, rise up, Lord, and let thine enemies be scattered. Let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. I'd like to stop reading there with verse 36, the last verse of that 10th chapter of the book of Numbers. My thought is this, and I want to speak, I believe, primarily today to those of us who have been saved. But my thought will be, and my title will be today, that we are journeying. We're going someplace. Life in itself is a journey, isn't it? I'm sure that you have heard many times, you've heard people talk about the fact that the very moment that we're born into the world, we begin our journey towards the moment that we will leave the world, from the cradle to the grave. But what I want to speak about today, when I think about my journey, and especially when I think about the end of my journey, I don't think about journeying to the grave. I think about journeying towards someplace a lot better than the grave. I know that the body will have to rest there for a while. The Bible tells us that it was taken from dust, and it's unto dust that it'll go. And I know that the body has to return to that dust. But Moses here, and of course we know that the children of Israel, when they were on the Exodus, when they came out of Egypt after being there for several hundred years, enslaved, when they were finally brought out of Egypt by God's mighty power, and He began to lead them on the Exodus, they were traveling towards a better place. They were traveling towards a land that God delighted to give to them. He told them that he was going to take them to a good land. He told them that it was a large land. He told them that it was a land that flowed with milk and honey. And I suppose that, you know, probably, and of course I can't, I know that I can't go back and presuppose what was in the minds of the Israelites. I wasn't there, and I didn't get to ask them when they came out on the Exodus, well, what are you thinking about? But when I think about that and try to make my own assessment, I realize that, though they were probably, it entered their minds that in this land that God had told them that it would be a green land, a good land, that it would be a large place, that it would be flowing with great sustenance. But I would imagine that probably more than anything, that they thought that they were going to finally possess a land where they would be free, where they would not be bound in slavery the way that they had been for all of this time in Egypt, that they would have freedom there. As God led them along as they made their journey, we know that they had things along the way that befell them and beset them. They had trials and they had troubles and they had obstacles, but God, along the way, He blessed them on their journey. And I want you to, if you will with me today, I want you to think as I try to share with you the thoughts that the Lord has given to me. I want you to think about your own journey and be willing today to admit the truth that we certainly are on a journey and that it's a journey that's short at best. It's just a short journey through life. We don't realize that. I'm sure that many here today have already come to know this, but we don't realize the brevity of the journey as much when we're young as we do when we get older. When we get older, then we begin to truly realize, I've told people many times that that verse of Scripture in that short epistle of James about life being a vapor comes more and more real to me all the time. I realize the truth of that verse of Scripture as I get older. I realize that truth more and more all the time, that life is a vapor that just appears for a little time and then vanishes away. And so we are not only journeying, but we are on a short journey. And there's a lot of ways, there's a lot of things that I think of when I consider the end of the journey. There's a lot of things that I think about where it causes me to say, thank you, Lord, that my journey will be short. Thank you that it won't take me very long to get there. And I would today that we would be like those that the Hebrew letter spoke about, because in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, we read about those that realized that they were on a journey, and the reality of that was real enough to them to cause them to confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And that's what we are. Those of us that have been saved, now, and I suppose that this is, the day that we have coming up tomorrow and what it represents and what it is about, I suppose this would be a good time to mention the fact that I'm very thankful for my citizenship here in this country. I really have been thankful through my life. I know that I think that we probably all do this, that we have a lot of times that we take the things that we've enjoyed for granted. But I really have it at various times throughout my life. I have been thankful for the nation in which I was born. I've been thankful for the things that I have enjoyed and the privileges that have been mine because I am an American, because I hold citizenship in the great nation, the United States of America, and I'm still thankful today for that citizenship. But those of us who have been saved, we truly have a greater citizenship than what we have here. And we have a citizenship that will result in greater benefits than what we have enjoyed by being a citizen of this country. We are citizens of a heavenly country. And that's what they realized. And when you study that, that's what you see, that they realized that when they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, it's because they that say such things are looking to the fact that they have a better country. They have something better waiting for them. And it says, if they had been mindful of where they came from, they might have sought opportunity to return. But now they seek a better country. A better country. And so that's what Canaan, that's what the land of Canaan, in a natural sense, that's what the land of Canaan had to offer the Israelites. Better things. A better place to live. More than what they had enjoyed in Egypt. There was a time, shortly after they got there, there was a time when they were well taken care of in Egypt, when Joseph was in the position of power that he had there, being Pharaoh's right-hand man, and they were granted the land of Goshen to live in, and for a while things were good with them until there arose a new Pharaoh, which knew not Joseph. They became afraid of them. They began to enslave them and afflict them, and then the rest of their time there was not pleasant. But God brought them out, didn't He? He brought them out just like He promised that He would. He brought them out of that land. And we see Moses in his time. We see him when he flees Egypt and goes there to the backside of that desert there to Mount Horeb. And he sees this sight of the bush that's burning but not consumed. And when he turns aside to see this great sight, God speaking to him out of that bush. And God told him there, and it's recorded in the third chapter of the book of Exodus, that God told Moses there that he had seen the afflictions of his people, that he had heard their cries by reason of their taskmasters, that he knew their sorrows, and that he had come down to deliver them. Well, listen, you can be sure. You can be sure. Now, we know that there was a lot of people that came out on the Exodus that because of their unbelief, they never got to see the land of Canaan. Moses was one of them. Aaron was one of them. Because of either unbelief or because of disobedience to God, they didn't get to view the land of Canaan. But it won't be like that with those who are journeying to heaven. You can be sure that every one of God's saved, every one of God's elect, He will deliver us into that land that He has prepared for His people. We'll be there. We'll make it. We used to sing a song when I pastored up at Fellowship. We had this little book that's usually, it's not common to our churches. Most of the churches don't have it, but we had this little song book, and in that book it had a song, "I'll Make It All Right. I'll Make It All Right When It's Time to Cross Over." And folks, listen, if you've truly been saved, you're going to make it all right. You'll make it to the end of the journey, and God will receive us into that place that He has prepared for us. And you know, I thought about, bore you, but I thought about the things, and I thought back through the past little over 30 years of my ministerial journey, and I thought about the places that I have been and the miles that I have traveled and the different places that we've lived, and I thought about, you know, living in 4 or 5 different states and being in many different states and preaching, and I couldn't even tell you how many miles that I've traveled by either by automobile or in the air to places to preach the gospel, and having to at several different times having to, you know, go to my children and tell them, well, you know, you're going to have to go and move, and you're going to have to go and be in a different school again, and all those things. You know, the journey is not always easy, but the Lord never promised us that, did He? He never promised us that we would always have an easy journey. There are things that we're going to experience along the way. There were things that Israel experienced along the way. They experienced times of when they were hungry. They experienced times when they were trapped. They experienced times when they suffered, you know, different kinds of ailments. They had things when they suffered physical ailments. There were problems that they had along the way, and we're not going to have a trouble-free journey by any means. But you know, when I thought about this and when I thought about what Moses said here, we are journeying unto the land which the Lord is going to give us, which He has promised to give us. And I thought about my own walk with the Lord and those few times, and I say it that way, those few times that we do face, hardships along the way. Because I believe and I'm persuaded and have experienced in my own life that the blessings of God on the journey far outweigh the trials and the troubles and the heartaches that we face. And if you have an exceptionally hard journey, you can always look to what that dear old song tells us, that song, "When We All Get to Heaven." If you've just had an exceptionally hard life, and a life that's just been filled with some reason for more trials than what the next person's may have been, you can always say, well, just one glimpse of Him in glory, and will the toils of life repay. You see, that's what we need to do. We need to, as we journey, we need to look less at what's around us, and we need to look at more of what's ahead. That's where we need to keep our eyes fixed, and I believe that at times, I believe that's what the children of Israel did. At times they didn't, but I believe at times on the Exodus, that's what they would do. They would look to what was at the end of the journey, And that's what the scriptures teach us to do. We find that recorded in the third chapter of Colossians. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And so we need to be looking ahead to what's waiting for us. And when we do that, it makes the journey a lot more pleasant. And it makes things a lot easier to take when we look at things in that way. You know, there were times, and I want to tell you something today. I know that I don't nearly as much as I should, but I love the Lord. I love Him. And I love His Word. And I love what He can do. I love the things that God can do and has done that only God can do. And there were times when I used to worry. I mean, I used to really be concerned at times about my wife and about my children. And I would think when God was speaking to me and I knew that it was time to go, I knew that it was time to move, and I would think about how that, oh goodness, here I've got to uproot them again. I'm going to have to go and tell my wife again that, you know, we're going to have to make another move, and I'm going to have to tell my children again that, you know, I'm going to have to take you out of school, and I'm going to have to take you away from your friends again, and we're going to have to go and live in someplace else. And there were times, admittedly, there were times when that would concern me, but then I would see along the way, I would see how that, you know, not only would God assure my heart with the confidence that He was in fact leading me and impressing me in that direction, but I would be able to see how that He was blessing my wife and how that He was blessing my children and how that they were content. And I believe that the Lord did those things. You know, He helped Israel along the way on their journey. He helped them greatly. You remember reading about, I want to share this verse with you. You remember reading in 1 Kings chapter 19 when Elijah was running from Jezebel, and he went and he sat down under a tree, went and he sat down under a juniper tree, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him twice. And the second time that the angel of the Lord appeared to Elijah, he said to him, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And you know what? My journey has been too great for me. And I believe that many of you here today would admit the same thing. My journey has really been too great for me. And I realize that I could not have made it, and I can't still today make it along the journey by myself, because it's just too great for me. But God has been there, and God has helped me, and God has blessed me, and God has led me. And I think about how that, and God has delivered me. And I think about how when Israel came up on that great body of water, the Red Sea, and how that they felt trapped. Have you ever felt trapped? Have you ever felt like you were just facing something that was overwhelming to you and it just had you trapped? And I read about how that God, came and through the working of His mighty power, how that He gave them great deliverance. And folks, I'm going to tell you something today. I have never done it in a physical sense like the Israelites did, but I have absolutely walked the dry ground. I've walked on that dry ground. I've walked through the way that God has delivered me. And I'm persuaded that I'm speaking to people today that know what I'm talking about. We know about that dry ground. We know about the deliverance of God. We know what the Lord is able to do. And you know, with all of the obstacles, with all of the hardships, with all of the troubles, with all of the trials, and I admit to you today, I am looking forward to the conclusion of it all. I'm looking forward to the end of the journey. I think one of the, I think the very sweetest thought about that is recorded in the 22nd chapter of Revelation, where it simply says, it's a great thought to think about the day when God will wipe away all tears from our eyes, and the day when there'll be no more sorrow, and when there'll be no more crying, and when there'll be no more pain because these former things have passed away. But I believe that the very best thing about the end of the journey is recorded there in that 22nd chapter of Revelation, where it just simply says, they shall see His face. We'll be with the Lord. We will see His face. But God will give us the strength that we need on the journey, just like He did for Elijah. It's too great for us. It's too great for us. But the Lord can lead us. He led Israel. He led them in the daytime by the pillar of the cloud. In the night, He led them and He protected them by the manifestation of the pillar of fire. And the Lord does the same thing for His people today. He delivers us. He supplies our needs. He leads us along the journey from day to day until we come to that place where we reach the end of the journey. And you know, truly, and I want to, I know, we, you know, along the way, we lose people. We lose people. And that cuts and it hurts. I know that along the way, you know, through the years of my journey, I've lost people. But I'll tell you what, truly, if we really look at it from the proper perspective, when the saints of God are laying and dying, when the saints of God are on their deathbed, what's really happening is they're just coming to the end of the journey. They're coming into the place where the Lord has prepared for them. And it's going to be good, and it's going to be large, and it's going to be flowing with God's goodness and with His blessings. And there we'll see His face. And I promise you that there's never been one person that has crossed that great divide. There's never been one person that has crossed into heaven that ever desired to go back and start the journey. No, when we get there, we're home. And we're content to be there with the Lord. And there we get to rejoin those that have left us, that were ready for the, you know, we're ready to make that crossing. And I thank God for the journey. I do. I thank Him for what He's allowed me to experience along the way. I thank Him for the people. Do you ever just find yourself down on your knees before God, thanking Him for the people that He's brought into your life? Sure you do. I find myself all the time, you know, thank you, God, for allowing me to meet this person or that person. Thank you, God, for allowing me to have a friendship with them and to know them and to be acquainted with them, because they've been a blessing to me in my life. And there have been people along my journey that I'm so thankful to God that I was privileged to meet them and to know them. And the impression that they made on my heart and the way that they benefited my life. Some of them, many of them, in fact, have already gone. You know, I think somebody may have said this here recently. I don't know who, doesn't really matter, but I believe somebody may have said this recently that, you know, the longer you live, if you live to what we consider old age, there's more people on the other side that you've known than there is on this side. The longer you live, the more people that you've been acquainted with have already crossed. Their journey here is already finished, and they've already made the crossing. And won't it be good, folks, won't it be good to be back together? I miss people, don't you? I miss people. People that I've known and loved that are gone, I miss them. I'm glad for the ones that were saved because I know that at the end of my journey that not only will I get to see the Lord, but I'll get to see those that I knew and loved in this life that have already gone on. So I'm just on my journey from day to day. Don't know what all it will, you know, don't know where it'll lead me tomorrow. Don't know what will happen along the way. None of us do. But I know that God will be with us. And I know that He'll deliver us to the land that He's prepared for His people. And if you're not saved, come and go with us. That's our desire. Come and go with us. Because you know what? The blessings that we have received, the blessings that God has bestowed upon us, just like we read here in this 10th chapter of Numbers, He's willing to bestow those same blessings upon you. Come and go with us. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for you. But you're going to have to seek the Lord and be saved. That's the only way that you can be journeying toward God's heaven, is to know Him in a pardon and forgiveness of sins. So I would like for us to just have a verse or two of a song before we bring the service to a close. I appreciate your attention.